Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
You stay the same through the ages, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Arsenal and Chelsea are in the final and Fulham are in the final. It's Friday the 31st of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Venetian Hunter-Raja.
As the great Teddy Sheringham once said to me, Vish, it's all about timing.
All that time, you just squeezed it in.
I'm getting pushed to the edge on this, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Jules is getting a bit cheeky now. She's kind of like hogging a bit of it and giving me a little bit of rope that I'm just clutching onto. And then
on the other hand, your name is very long.
It is, yeah. So, really, it's my parents are the ones.
I think there's been too much said about your name, Vish.
I think when it comes to reading names and having the time to do it, I'm pulling my weight here, aren't I? Two syllables, no mucking around.
Lovely old job.
Give and go, aren't you? You get it, you receive it, you give it.
Take the ball, pass the ball. Yeah. I'm available, Pep, if you're listening.
I think it's Pete Donaldson, you know. Donaldson, there's a bit of a...
Yeah.
You don't know with Pete if he's even going to say his own name.
Yeah.
True.
That is the trouble. Fear. I feel like Glenn Hoddle talking to that young apprentice when he'd handed him the suede boots. When I do a long intro, I just think, this will test you.
Yeah, that will. But you're only testing yourself, weirdly.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday. Viva el Scorchio. What a warm day it is in England. I assume it's like this for the rest of the country. It certainly is in Bonnie London. But let's start north of London, way north. It's south of Adrian's border, but north of London. Let's go to Newcastle, because Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, PCP, Capital Partners and Reuben Brothers have withdrawn from the process to buy Newcastle.
Yes.
Now, Ashley really had us going this time, didn't he? He really did.
Well, Amanda Staveley said that there's no problem with Mike Ashley. She was on the record saying that they agreed a deal. She was absolutely fine with how he dealt with things. And it was, as far as she's concerned, none of the blame is at Mike Ashley's door.
No.
Which is probably the first time he's heard that. He probably thought, what?
Yeah.
He probably woke up to the news like, what have I done now? And he's like, no, you've been fine. Well, it's interesting because one of the things that came out straight away when this news broke yesterday now, so Thursday, was that it was a bit of Mike Ashley's doing because there was part of the deal that was renegotiated because their original agreement had expired. But even that was agreed upon as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as you said, yeah, he actually hasn't done anything wrong.
Fish, is your understanding of it, like, you were on the show on Wednesday when you guys talked about it with Pete. I thought Pete's quotes on it were absolutely outstanding, actually. But is it fair to say that the Premier League have been so worried about this, they've just obfuscated and delayed and taken so long that the buying parties have just got bored or got frustrated and decided it's more trouble than it's worth, and that's that?
Well, it's really hard to tell. I think the uniqueness about this situation is that there are journalists locally, in the Northeast who have been covering this from start to finish, who clearly got to a stage where they thought it was going to go over the line. I think there was a part maybe a couple of months ago where we feel like we were about to wake up to more positive news than yesterday's news. So that a takeover had gone through. And it does sound like what the Premier League have done, and it's because it's the Premier League, it's really hard to say if they've done it deliberately or just through their own incompetence.
But, and famously, they won't comment on either, right? Yeah, so we only get one side of the story because they refuse to comment on the thing in any way.
Yeah, so one of the things that I've heard from people who have been covering it for a while, and specifically on the Premier League side, was that they were kind of hoping that it would work itself out. Mm-hmm. That by delaying it, there'd be enough kind of public tension and also private tension among the two buying parties that they would be in a situation where they might just walk away. And then yet at the same time, there was has genuinely been a lot of deliberation over what to do with the various rights issues that, you know, that Qatar and BN Sports have with where the Saudi Arabia were basically siphoning off rights for free and Premier League rights.
And he made that sound really exciting on Wednesday.
He did.
Like satellite-based piracy.
Yeah.
Where can I hear more about that? Mm.
Definitely from him. I'm not a kind of... I like to think of myself as quite a diluted Pete, but I can't match, I can't match him for interstellar
almost
nonsense.
Like a homeopathy Pete. Like very, very... like one part Pete in a million parts of Vish.
Do you think it all fell down when one side said to the other, right, we're ready to do the deal. Oh, by the way... you've got to keep Steve Bruce on next season.
That was the deal breaker. You're normally very nice to Stevie Bruce.
I am. I'm loving the fact that Steve Bruce is the winner here, again.
He's probably having a lovely holiday at the moment, diving off the back of a boat in the Mediterranean.
Free Bruce eats.
Swimming in bacon.
Yeah. What's that for?
Yeah, that's another dig.
Yeah, because he said he asked someone who's going to bring the bacon. Who doesn't love bacon?
The Saudis. But anyway, the statement read, with a deep appreciation for the Newcastle community and the significance of its football club, we have come to the decision to withdraw our interest in acquiring Newcastle United Football Club. We do so with regret as we were excited and fully committed to invest in the great city of Newcastle and believe we could have returned the club to its position of its history, tradition and fans' merit. And I thought, well, you've...
I'm just missing out on the Premier League.
Naughty. It is a... look, there will be Newcastle fans who are gutted about this because, as Pete rightly said, you know, when you have that kind of money coming in, we've seen what it has done for Manchester City. No, a different example, different group of people, blah, blah, blah. So it is a bit gutting. However, there are a number of journalists who I personally like. They've been in the studio a number of times who are saying, I think this is good for the game. And I understand Pete's point of view that, what did he say, modern life makes a mockery of us all with all these sort of things. I, personally, from my removed position, and I appreciate this might annoy some people, especially who support the club, I'm absolutely delighted that
The problem is, there's no simple answer to what is a really complicated situation, and the situation has been complicated by the way the Premier League has conducted itself, and Vish, you alluded to this on Wednesday as well, the way the Premier League operates has set itself up for this kind of conundrum. So you've got an owner that no one likes, who is, you know, people who know more about the football club than I do would say he's ripped the heart out of the club, and they're desperate for him to go for lots of legitimate reasons. On one hand, on the other hand, you've got, you know, an abhorrent state that's run in a certain way, which wouldn't be welcomed, you know, on paper into the football community either. So you're between the devil and the deep blue sea. So there's no real easy way out of this.
Which one's the devil?
Well, you can decide.
Ashley?
You can decide.
Probably.
No, you can decide. I'm leaving that I'll leave me out of that.
You tossed a bit of bait in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not having it.
You saw he had a quiet week in the mentions, and you thought, hold on, here he is.
Who's more likely to vomit in a fireplace, the devil or the deep blue sea?
I don't get any mentions because I've muted everyone on Twitter. But the point I was just going to make is that Pete's absolutely right, and you guys were right what you said on Wednesday. You know, everywhere you turn in modern life, there is a problem to be faced, a moral problem to be faced, pretty much. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't call out bad things when we see it. This whataboutism, you know, that happens all the time when something difficult pops up. It doesn't really serve anyone. Oh, well, wouldn't you say this about that? Well, you didn't ask me about that. It happened. I was on the radio when this started coming up and started being announced, and lots of people were texting in, tweeting, well, you didn't say this about that. Well, you didn't say this about that. So, well, I wasn't on the radio when that happened. That was in 1984. That one over there, you haven't asked me about it. Yeah. If you ask me about it, I'll give you my opinion on it. But the problem is we have, as broadcasters as well, is that if we give an opinion, we're asked, well, we're not consistent on other stuff. And everything's different. Everything's complicated. There is no easy answer to this. So Newcastle fans will be upset that Mike Ashley's going to carry on owning the club for the foreseeable future. But they also won't be queasy, like a lot of them were, about this this new potential owner. But as you said, Vish, and a really important stat, I think, to reiterate, almost 97% of members of the Newcastle United Supporters Trust were in favour of this deal. Now, does that mean that they're in favour of an abhorrent regime? Probably not. It means they're not in favour of having Mike Ashley own their club anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cancel Newcastle United.
Go through their old tweets. I think the thing as well that a lot of Newcastle fans are kind of holding on to now is the fact that there was probably about a month ago where it sounded like Mike Ashley basically checked out the club, that he was ready to kind of finally pick himself up and move on. And I think the hope is that he's still of that mind, that hopefully this hasn't put him off the, you know, what it would take to give someone else or sell someone else the club. And it's just a case of finding new buyers. There's no reason why Amanda Staveley wouldn't be the front facing woman of any new deal, if I'm right in thinking.
She said there were no other, I mean, she would say this, obviously. And like I said, the Premier League won't comment, and we haven't seen anything from Newcastle, solid statement from Newcastle at the time of recording, but she said there's no other credible bids. There was talk of an American.
And that's her saying that as well.
I know, that's what I mean.
So I mean, that's the other interesting thing off the back of all of this. And I would always say to people that while it's easy to hammer journalists for how they might represent the club you support or how they might represent the club that they follow, is to, you know, in the age of the internet and being able to search through and read so many different views, I would encourage people to do that as much as possible, because what we've seen off the back of this is that there are some people who are very concerned about the Saudi regime and them and sports watching in general. There are also some people who are very concerned about how easy it can be to take over a football club, even from the original point of view of Mike Ashley, how you can take over a football club and do reprehensible things to it, even in the Premier League. You know, I know this isn't just something that happens to the Wiggins of this world. This happens to top big clubs who are from, you know, big cities reliant on that football club. And then there's also the stage of, where did this kind of American bid come from? Because there was talk of it, and it was almost like, whose hand are you trying to force there? I found that particular thing really interesting, because you can't just come out from nowhere. It's not like you're buying a player where you're like, Nathan Ackie's only 40 million, then we can chuck in 45. It doesn't work like that. There were so many moving parts to it that I don't even know what purpose it served, who benefited from that information being out there. It was the whole thing. It's kind of the Premier League were kind of glad that it is coming to a close, and I think they'd be moronic to think that this is now sorted, because we absolutely haven't heard the end of this.
Well, the people have got to go through the mill and have a difficult, to say the least, situation going forward. Again, our Newcastle United fans, and they're the ones that deserve a lot better in this.
Well, they're the ones who go through the mill. It's always the fans. It's always the fans. We know this, and it's a great shame. And I sincerely hope now, again, from my very removed neutral position, that they get a proper owner, someone decent, come in, because, my goodness, it would be like...
It'd be incredible.
It'll be like VE Day, you know what I mean, when it happens in that city. So, best of luck. I am fascinated who will be up next for a bid for Newcastle United. Keys and Gray Consulting from Qatar, maybe?
Oh, God.
Probably got enough money. Probably haven't got
enough
money.
But they're just not welcome back. Yeah. I think everyone would be agreed on that one.
Imagine if Keys and Gray... failed to fit a proper person. How? Imagine Richard Keys' blog.
There are dark forces at work again.
Again, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my giddy out! Right, let's talk about the playoff semi-final. Fulham marched into the
neutral observer again. Another subject you can be a neutral observer in.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all down at Craven Cottage?
Yeah.
Fulham marched into the playoff final, of course, handsomely losing 2-1 to Cardiff and winning 3-2.
It was very much a march on the way back from a really brutal battle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was
a lot of stragglers
staggering back.
A bit of capoeira football there, just avoid getting hit and looking quite fancy while you're doing it.
How dare you?
Yeah. I thought the Fulham made it a lot. They made a lot harder work of it than they needed to.
Yes.
And they've done that a lot this season, haven't they?
They have, yeah. I mean, look, Cardiff got off to a great start and then immediately, boom, Fulham hit them back. And you thought, okay, right, that was a bit shaky. And then, of course, as the game panned out, you know, Fulham, I mean, they had a couple of efforts. It wasn't a great game of football in terms of quality. There was some sort of nice moments, but it was a bit of a spectacle, of course. I mean, there's something about... I've seen Fulham a lot this season. There's just something about that I just don't quite trust
them I agree.
To do the job. And it's odd because they finished on the same points as Brentford. They lost less games than Brentford. Brentford's got a lot more goals. Their goal difference is a lot better than Fulham's. So it's not too bad. I mean, on the last day of the season, you know, Fulham still had a chance of automatic promotion. So it seems quite odd to sort of say that about Fulham. But I'm afraid that's I mean, maybe that's just, you know what it's like with your own team. You kind of don't trust them or whatever. But I think that is a feeling shared among a few Fulham fans. So I would put Brentford down as favourites. And it seems to be like the neutral. There seems to be a lot of goodwill around for Brentford. Of course, never been in the Premier League, a new stadium, blah, blah, blah. And I get that. And what they've done at the club, Vish, you were talking about this the other day, it's very, very impressive. And they look like, as you said, Luke, yesterday, they've sort of almost like woken up from this haze of not finishing in the automatic spots. I mean, they did really make a bit of a pig's ear of that.
Oh, I think you'd have been quite foolish to favour Brentford after the way they had it all in their hands. They lose the last two games of the regular season, but they have turned it around. But on the Fulham side of the ledger, it wasn't a great game, but it was a game with kind of great moments.
Yeah.
And I think if Neil Harris would point towards a reason why they didn't succeed across the two legs, that goal they conceded straight after they scored.
Yeah.
It's just so frustrating. Yeah. Even at the level we play, amateur football, it's one of the first things you learn. Like, you're vulnerable then. Mm-hmm. You're still on a bit of a high from that. You've not got a clear head. And if you're playing against a good team, they'll punish you. And it was 24 seconds or something.
Yeah. It was absolutely ridiculous. The Fulham didn't create much. They really didn't create much. It would have been perfect for Cardiff. Get the early goal and then go, right, we know it's set pieces and...
But we'll start turning the screw
exactly,
a bit.
Exactly, as they did in the second half. And actually, if Fulham hadn't have scored so quickly... then I think it would have been a bit of a struggle for him that evening.
Yeah.
Well, it was a struggle, but if you see what I mean.
Yeah, of course. I've seen Fulham a few times this season as part of my work, and one of the things I've noticed is that...
Well, mixing work and pleasure. That's what we like to see.
What, now?
Didn't really feel much like the latter. But the one thing I noticed is, you know, you look at their team sheets every game and you're like, that's a... You know, obviously they were in the Premier League last season, but that is a very, very good side who should... really should have walked this league had they not got off to such a bad start at the beginning. But yeah, yesterday, you said as a fan, you often worry that your team aren't good enough or they don't have enough about them to kind of hold things together. Cardiff will know that as well, and they should have known that.
Yeah.
And so as soon as they score, they know that actually, if we sit back for 5 minutes, right off at the restart are immediately really solid, then we know they are their own worst enemy.
Yeah, Mitrovic isn't playing, so you don't have that kind of...
You could hear Mitrovic all the way through the game.
Yeah.
Just shouting and screaming.
Great,
all the time.
Yeah. I wanted a red button option for him.
Yeah.
The commentator had to keep saying, sorry if you're hearing some language. I was like, is that Mitrovic? he was crazy for it. And they've got a problem on that front because they've almost got an England... The problem England would have had in the Euros this summer, do you play a half-fit Kane? Do they play a half-fit Mitrovic in the final when he's not been present for this and they've done it without him in the past? It's a difficult situation for them, I think.
It was a huge talking point, wasn't it, before the game actually got going, before Fulham were actually confirmed in the final, where Leroy Rossignol and Joby Mackenough were like, well, surely if he was anywhere near fit for Tuesday's final, he'd be in this squad, because you kind of need to get to that final first. But if you can't even risk putting him on the bench, then it's not going to clear up over five or six days.
Because like different managers have different attitudes towards that. So I've seen managers say in the past, if I put you on the bench, I might need you in the first minute. So you've got to be ready.
Yeah, right.
But then I think since we've seen the development of larger kind of subs benches in football, they've been much more ready to say, we can have him as a spare if we need him. Mm-hmm. When it used to be three subs, a lot of managers wouldn't do it. Because they said, if I need you in the first 5 minutes, you're not fit, I can't have you. Mm-hmm. I can't guarantee I'm only going to need you for the last 10. So I think, is there a huge difference between Thursday night and Tuesday night and a hamstring injury? Maybe. I don't know what the sort of grade of tear he had or strain he had. But he's a big player for them. But and top scorer, I think. Was he top scorer in the league? I think he was, wasn't he?
Was.
Yeah, of course. But they've got there without him. I mean, one thing is, absolutely sure, Tom Kearney should not be on free kicks after that one he did last
week. Oh, come on.
Oh, that's not his fault.
That was hilarious. And the only thing missing was a, way! Yeah, I felt really sad about that.
Yeah, the sound guy should have been, that should be an option.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it was 100%. A bit disappointing. I mean, I think
has Tom Kearney's left foot lost it?
No.
Has it lost it after that? Was that the death of Tom Kearney's left foot?
Shut up.
Was it like the Freaky Friday moment?
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it's a body swap. I smell a body swap fit sitcom.
That wand will always have an awful lot of magic in it. Of course, he got the winner in the player final a couple of years ago when they were in there. I think it'd be interesting how Parker lines up against Brentford. We know what Brentford like. They score a lot of goals. They've got some great players in there. I wonder if Parker will actually set Fulham up to just restrict. Because I think if Fulham try and play that passing game, depends on whether Mitrovic is in there or not. Statistically, actually, they've done all right without Mitrovic, oddly.
It's a bit of the Ewing syndrome about that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, with sort of Bobby Reid going up the centre and so on. But I think, I don't know. I love Tom Kearney, as anyone who cares to listen knows. And I would love... I miss the days when he had two defensive midfielders behind him so he could just sort of stroll around and, as I say, just sort of knock him in from 25 yards. He's a bit more demanded of him now. So I wonder. But then with Onuma playing like he does with Kearney, you know, you've got a chance with Fulham, you know. And it is a derby. It's at Wembley. But I do think Brentford will be favourites.
Do you think Fulham can set up like that? Because I've kind of have this conflicted in my head, because I saw them against QPR at Craven Cottage, where they were pretty bad, but they won.
Well,
you know, and they
were the same against Stoke when I saw them.
They scrapped it out. Yeah, they did the same against Stoke.
Well, Parker's turning them into a more sort of scrappier side.
They did the same yesterday. So it's almost like they don't actually have players who are particularly conducive to a scrap, but they know how to scrap, which I suppose is going to help them if they get into the Premier League next year.
Well, Harry Arter's in there, and Reid, who's, I think, done really well.
He's on loan, though, Reid, right?
Arter's on loan.
Reid's on loan for Southampton.
Well, and Arter is as well.
Okay, right. From Bournemouth.
They're all on loan. Knockhart's on loan. Caballero's on loan.
Yeah, okay, but Caballero as well.
Yeah. So,
do you do any of your own work?
Freelance. We're a freelance football club.
If only they had a billionaire owner.
Scott Parker's. I can't make this Saturday. I've got to have a job on. They put me in first.
Can you just send me your shifts before the start of the month?
And have you sent your invoice in yet? Yeah. But speaking of QPR, by the way, what a terrible time to be a QPR fan. Probably about to lose their best player.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Brentford Fulham in the player final and Chelsea in the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Nadir. Absolute nadir.
I know. Westland was singing the blues.
Somewhere Kevin Gallen has just stubbed his toe. Yeah. The ultimate QPR hero. Yeah.
I remember once interviewing Kevin Gallen about the lack of...
About his magic hat?
No, I wasn't going to do that. But about the lack of... At the time I interviewed him about the lack of QPR strikers, and I think they were going for a lot of financial problems. And it was one of the only interviews where I thought, is he going to cry? He was so upset about it. So I can't imagine what state he's in at the moment.
Was that not like Vish when you interviewed him for this job? Is he going to cry? He really doesn't want to be here.
It was only about half an hour in when I was in
bits. Interviewing me.
It was only about half an hour in when I was in bits on the floor that he told me who he was.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. Why is a studio in a basement?
Oh, I don't.
Why can't I leave? Can I ask you to make two more very, very brief points about the game? One is that Alex Smith had a great game. Two goalkeepers in that game. It didn't start the season as first choice, but have kind of distinguished themselves, haven't they, ever since? And Paul Tierney is the referee with the hairiest arms I've ever seen.
All right.
There's not, if ever, anyone listening out there, find me a hairier armed referee than Paul Tierney. You won't be able to.
No.
And that's the important stuff we need to talk about.
It's just the way you grabbed for your bottle to have a sip there.
Yeah, that was like...
That's the bottom line. Luke Moore said so.
Well, before we go for a break, let's go to FIFA House. We never go to FIFA House now. They're just, I don't know. Let's see what's going on there, is what I'm saying.
What possibly could be the theme of this story?
The Swiss Special Federal Public Prosecutor has opened criminal proceedings against FIFA's president, Gianni Infantino. The proceedings follow an investigation by the prosecutor, Stefan Keller, into complaints regarding meetings between Infantino, Swiss Attorney General Michael Lauber, and the chief public prosecutor of the Upper Valais, Rinaldo Arnold. Great name. It'd be nice to have some FIFA scandal back in our lives. The thing is, when Blatter and all them sort of fell by the wayside, thanks to the wonderful work of Andrew Jennings, and us very much, you know, commentating on it throughout, it was a great time. But then the bad guys get done, and you think, hey, it's a great victory. And it's a bit like a detective who's been following a serial kind of criminal or something for a while, and you catch him, you think, ah, there's something missing in my life.
So
I don't know.
But I think what you could comfort yourself with is that, I mean, it's 4 years since Gianni Infantino was first interviewed by the investigatory chamber at the FIFA Ethics Committee. So I don't know if there's anything to suggest that, you know, I mean, to paraphrase kind of Roger Daltrey, meet the new boss.
Same as the old boss.
I think there might well... I'm starting to think the whole thing might be a little bit problematic, Vish. I don't know about you.
What do you have to do to get the FIFA president's job? Do you just have to...
You have to cry through the interview.
But is there like an unfit and improper test
that
you've got to pass to kind of get into that?
I think the problem we've got with you is that I think you might be too good a bloke.
Yeah.
And it will be a bloke. Yeah. You might be too good a bloke. So I'm not sure if you can... You need to show us that you really want this job.
They do that like in the bit in Kingsman where they've got to shoot their own dog.
Yeah.
Stop shooting.
One of the best ever reveals in FIFA history was when the first photo of their executive committee office desk thing was, and it looked exactly like a Bond villain lair.
Oh,
in every conceivable way.
It proves David Icke's right.
Yeah.
Icke's there going, you see? My whole theory is based on this.
I don't think that's the point David Icke's making.
I've got a couple of mates who work out in Switzerland for FIFA.
You?
Oh.
And some of the stories about even just the decor is unbelievable.
Well, go on.
I don't think I can repeat some of it here. But
can't go into it, Marcus.
Of course he can.
So another 15 pints.
Yeah.
Wow. So I did find that. This is a quote on Infantino. For me, the situation is clear that the FIFA Ethics Committee has to open a case against Mr. Infantino, and so it does have to suspend him going forward. Set Blatter, everyone.
Yes, get in there.
That's the one. He's.
I bet Set Blatter, when he saw this, didn't even need a journalist to call him. He was straight on there.
Just shouting out of his window.
Yeah.
Suspend him.
Someone's phoned Andrew Jennings. Are you coming out of retirement for this? One last job. Yeah. Come on. Let's do him. Infantino. Notable egg.
Yeah.
Alleged egg.
The list of football officials banned by the FIFA Ethics Committee is, I think, almost 80 people strong. Look at the list. That's the list.
Beautiful. Yeah. All the nations are represented which is quite nice.
Truly, football is for everyone.
It is. That's a quality.
And there's a lot of big hitters on there. I mean, Chuck Blazer's banned. He's dead.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that one of those ones? You know, like Zidane still got that 3-match ban.
Yeah, still takes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jack Warner's on there. All the big hitters. Jack Warner's on there. Sepp Blatter's on
there. Warner, first name on the team sheet for me.
Yeah, he's captain. 100%.
Love that.
Let's see what happens with interest. Michel Platini also involved. Don't forget him. Don't forget him.
Yeah. Wearing the number 10 jersey.
Yeah.
In that lineup. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Luke, you've got something to say.
I have got something to say. A reminder that you can sign up and support us on Patreon, where you can receive loads of extra behind-the-scenes content and bonus podcast episodes for as little as $5 a month. Ooh. We also run competitions for our members every month, and this month is no exception, so listen up. It's that time of the month again. If you sign up to our Patreon this weekend, you'll be in chance with you'll be in with a chance of winning a brand new 32GB iPad. To participate, simply sign up at patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 a.m. British time this Monday, the 3rd of August. Everyone signed up before the deadline, including those of you who are already Patreon subscribers, will be eligible for the prize. Signing up to a higher tier also makes you more likely to win. If you sign up to our Supporters Club tier, you'll be entered once. Our Ramble On tier will get you two entries. And if you choose to join our highest tier, not only will you become an official friend of the Ramble, but your name will be entered three times into the competition. So head over to patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 a.m. this Monday, the 3rd of August, to enter. And we'll be announcing the winner on Monday's show. A chance to win a 32GB iPad.
Lovely old job, ladies and gentlemen. Now it's the FA Cup final tomorrow. Tomorrow is Saturday, Arsenal versus Chelsea. Big one, Vish, big one. Another London derby in another final. My giddy aunt, the excitement is just flowing through you as a Manchester United fan.
Yeah, I think this is where I'm going to have to lean on my West London roots and say that, you know, three out of the four sides involved in finals.
You want Chelsea to win against Arsenal?
I didn't say that. I'd like like West London to thrive. Yeah, it's such an impoverished area. Yeah. yeah, it'd be Fulham really good for the Brentford community, wouldn't it, if Chelsea and Fulham won.
What's wrong with that?
No, nothing.
What
nothing.
You got
Fulham
posh
Broadway
people?
Is lovely. Yeah. I don't have anything against posh people. Okay. Some of them do very good shawarmas.
So Chelsea v Arsenal. What do you think? Well, immediately you see that fixture and the personnel involved. What leaps to mind?
I have to park my bias here. So I think I'd go and I'd support the team who needs it the most. And to my mind, that is Arsenal, not just for qualifying for Europe, but when you have all this talk of a project and you realise that, like, it doesn't actually take much to start talking about a new manager and their vision and their ideas and how they implement them, things like that. When the reality is that, you know, Mikel Arteta took over Arsenal when they were mid-table and they finished mid-table. Mm. So they kind of need something a bit extra to...
They're a top half-ish, come on.
Ish. They've... As good as.
Yeah. Some parts of the top half are very much mid-table. There's no getting away from that.
So, I think, obviously, both managers have a degree of that where they would, a bit of silverware would be something tangible to say that, right, this, we're heading in the right direction. They're two young managers who have impressed at various points during the season, but do need something a bit more than pats on the back from mates in the media or people who just like the cut of their jib. And I think they'd want that personally as well, because they, to be taken seriously, you just need to win things. It's not really about continually finishing in high enough league places to get into Europe and then do that all over again. And the irony is that fans judge you on that, because fans get those big days out, which obviously they're not going to get on Saturday. So yeah. I'd say, for my mind, Arsenal probably have the most to gain and then subsequently to lose from this Saturday, because ultimately it could be another stage where they go into next season and wonder, actually go through it all again, as they did with Emery, wondering if Arteta really is up to scratch, especially given that the number of new signings they're going to have to make to build themselves into a machine and a team that he wants them to be.
See, I actually think that, I hear what you're saying, I actually think this is probably bigger for Chelsea, because Lampard finishing in the top four and winning a trophy in his first season at Chelsea is absolutely brilliant. It's better than I think we all thought. Whereas if Arsenal lose the final, I think people say, oh, well, you know, that's to be expected. We are playing against a better side. And if they win, they'll say, that's great. But it's about the, you know, we've got to sort out the league form. Whereas I think for Chelsea, Luke, I think it actually would be a bit more of a feather in the cap.
Yeah, it's Tim Sherwood with A-levels versus Pep Guardiola without A-levels, isn't it?
Is unbelievable.
In the management stakes. But what's interesting to me, actually, is that
there's no need for that.
What?
Frank Lampard, how dare you say that about
Tim
him?
Tim Sherwood with A-levels. Said it yesterday, he's got a lot of Tim Sherwood energy about him, hasn't he? He's part of that little gang, isn't he? He's good. I'm not saying he's not good.
I'm not, okay, whether
he's... All right, Tim Sherwood with a degree from an ex-poly university, then.
And a BA.
Okay, fine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What it puts me in mind of is the... this feels like it was about 20 years ago, by the way, for a number of different reasons, but these two teams met in a big final last season. Like, Chelsea beat Arsenal 4-1 in the Europa League final. Different managers then. Quite a lot of different personnel as well, based on what we think the lineups will be tomorrow. It's interesting how two teams can change so much in such a short amount of time. I know it's a little bit delayed because of the pandemic and all that kind of stuff. I hear what both of you are saying. I think it's a massive game for both teams, because neither manager's won a trophy, to my knowledge, unless I've forgotten something completely stupid. I don't think either of them have won a trophy. And they are, sadly, though Chelsea are doing slightly better than Arsenal and in a slightly different situation, they're still, you know, a blot in the distance compared to the teams who are challenging at the top of the Premier League.
When you say neither manager won a trophy, they've hardly been in the manager.
No, of course, that's what I'm saying. So it's a big step for them. It's something that, you know, it's something to really hang their hat on. If you look at... You know, I love the FA Cup, and I'm of the age of someone who really, really enjoys it and has enjoyed it over the years. But if you look at the current state of football, the FA Cup isn't a huge deal to a club the size of Chelsea or a club the size of Arsenal. Arsenal have won it a million times already. Mm-hmm. Chelsea, you know, have won European trophies and Premier Leagues, and the FA Cup sadly doesn't have that same pull. But for the managers, it's actually very important. Mm-hmm. So I think we might see quite a cagey game tomorrow because of that, because I think it will be really important. Neither manager will want to lose it, obviously, anyway. But the reason they won't want to lose it, in my opinion, is because what it represents for them is a real platform. Mm-hmm. They can say, right, we've got a trophy in the cabinet. I can justify my role, especially someone like Mikel Arteta, who's never really managed before. Mm-hmm. If he can start off with an FA Cup, continue that great FA Cup tradition for Arsenal, it's huge. If Frank Lampard can get a trophy under his belt and a top four position in his first season in charge, it's an amazing season for him, whichever way you slice it. So it's for the first time in a wee while, I think, the FA Cup final has got quite a lot of subtext, quite a lot of narrative to it.
Well, if Arsenal win, they'll qualify for Europa League. Of course, if Chelsea win, then Wolves will qualify for the Europa League.
They'll be pulling for the Chelsea.
Oh, yeah. Well, if Arsenal win the FA Cup and Wolves win the Europa League, then 8 English teams will be in European competition.
I mean, that is ridiculous.
Next season, it'll be an onslaught from the English into Europe, which is not a political statement. But if Frank Lampard wins the FA Cup, Vish, he'll be the first English manager to win the cup since Harold Redknapp in 2008 with Portsmouth.
Harold.
And the one before old Redders was Joe Royle with Everton in 1995. English managers have a dreadful record in recent times in the FA Cup. I mean, obviously, an English manager's never won the Premier League, but I don't know. I'd quite like to see that.
I think that Lampard's done a good job. I think they are unquestionably, defensively, the worst team to ever finish in the top four in the Premier League, right?
Oh, come on.
They are.
Well, I think they've conceded the most goals in the
they must
top
have.
Five of them, though.
They must have. They conceded 15 more goals than the worst defence to finish in the top four last season.
Right.
Defensively, they are very, very poor. It's been we've talked about it on this show in terms of how they do without the ball. Defensively, they're very poor. I'm not using this as a stick to beat Frank Lampard. What I'm saying is, he's got quite an obvious thing he can do for next season, if he can do it, whether it's with signing. Yeah, and they can be even better. Mm. It's a clear path. Whereas I think Arteta and Arsenal have got a lot more questions to answer.
Yeah, I think for me, this, you remember when Arsene Wenger won the FA Cup with Arsenal when they beat, let me get this right, they beat Man City in the semi, and then they beat Chelsea in the final. Now, obviously, that could happen again. And they were really gritty, dogged performances from Arsenal, which is not what we come to expect from them. Vish, could it be one of those ones? I mean, you think about it, when they won their semi-final, people didn't think that was going to happen. And that sort of... Arteta seems to be finding... You know, as I say, even Wenger's Arsenal, we didn't think that of them. They can produce the odd performance, which can win them a cup, as we've seen not that long ago. They've won a few FA Cups.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they'd probably look to that victory over Liverpool and see how they can... You know, they are very good on the counter-attack because they have those players like Saka, like Aubameyang, like Lacazette, who, and Pepe, of course, who can go forward and play certain waves. And there was, you know, I think there was that goal they scored against Liverpool, against Manchester City, where it was X many passes and this, that and the other. And there was talk of that being the Arsenal way. But really, for that game, they were kind of up against it. They, knowing the game was going to be skewed that way, they made sure that they were a bit more... solid defensively. So yeah, there's absolutely no reason why they couldn't emerge with the trophy tomorrow. It's just the case of whether Chelsea panic. You know, Luke touched on it there and said that both managers would want something out of this, so therefore it could be quite a cagey game. It's a FA Cup final that's had a lot, it's going to have a lot on it compared to previous ones. So I think the worst thing that Chelsea could do is think they could, you know, be more solid. I think they just have to go for Arsenal straight away and try and settle the game in the first half, really, because we've seen enough from Arsenal that they can crumble under that pressure.
Mm-hmm. There are touch points in this competition which I don't want to be one of these kind of old, there's no magic in the FA Cup anymore, because I don't really believe that, but there are definite like data points, if you like, that say that the FA Cup, you know, recently hasn't been quite as important or quite as engaging as perhaps it once was. You look at the final when City absolutely batter Watford, you know, 6-0. It was a bit of a grim spectacle, really. And the best team in the country, Liverpool, just don't take it seriously. I mean, they don't do anything in the FA Cup, really. I mean, if you look, didn't they struggle to get past Shrewsbury this season? They're beaten quite handily by Chelsea. Klopp doesn't pick strong teams in the FA Cup, and he never, to my memory, I might be wrong, certainly in recent Klopp years, mm-hmm. he's not really picked a strong team
at
all. Has
he disrespected the Cup?
I think he's disrespected you, mm-hmm. he's disrespected you, Vish, and he's disrespected me.
But does he respect Arsenal fan team?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I'm not called that anymore.
No.
Not allowed to be.
Yeah, well, I remember that I was before they went commercial.
you're a lifer, AFTV lifer. And you can actually hear Marcus on AFTV every Sunday.
That is strictly not true.
You brought it up. I'll take it to the trenches, no problem.
It's not released till Monday. What about former Chelsea man Nathan Ake signing for Man City? Fish, 41 million. Well, hold on. Yes, I've jumped the gun there. Bournemouth.
I think it's generally considered that.
Yeah, of course. Chelsea have a buyback option, but apparently they're not interested in signing. So it's at the
moment. Why would they need a good defender? this is administratively. This is actually a lot easier than it would be normally. We're still not interested.
Where does he play? He plays in defence. Where's that?
Yeah, what?
Yeah. Yeah. What league do they play in?
Can he get forward? Well, he wants to play defensive midfield. That's not enough. It's still not enough for us. So it looks very much like he's going to go to Manchester City for all all the reports and so on and so forth, unless there's breaking news as we leave the studio, which is very rambled-like. Pep was asked back in January if they were potentially interested in signing Ake in the summer, to which he responded, "We don't speak about that."
All right. Mm. Sometimes it goes a bit weird, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you are going to have to speak about it, mate, because you've put a bid in.
There's also talk that, and I think this is perhaps a stupid thing to say, and perhaps people may even argue it's not the stupidest thing to say that I've said today. Mm. But I'm going to say it anyway. Right. I think Nathan Ake is a little bit underrated because he's not very tall.
Mm. I think that's absolutely spot on.
Right.
Because and he happens to play in a team that aren't very good defensively, so it's easy to look at a short bloke playing in defence. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not short. But, you know, someone who isn't...
He's not a towering defender.
Think, well, that's part of the problem. Mm. This is a really interesting signing because I think it's maybe something that I've only really become properly attuned to over the last few years. But just how necessary it is to have a right-sided centre-back. Yeah. Or anyone in the right of any middling position in the middle to be either right or left-footed. And how important is that just for accessing the more open areas in the field? And I think... I can't remember the stats. I saw it on Twitter the other day. So someone, if they could tweet us to it, that'd be great.
Yeah,
but
must be true.
it was about the number of minutes that Aki's played, mm-hmm. I think, since the start of last season. And he's up there with Laporte as mm-hmm. As a left-sided centre-back. But there really aren't very many in the league at all.
Mm.
And so I don't necessarily think he'll start because Laporte, you know, is their man, really. Mm-hmm. He's the person they actually need to get someone on the right to back him up, not someone, you know, unless he's going to persist with Fernandinho, they probably...
Yeah, but Ake does fancy playing in defensive midfield. And if you think about the role Fernandinho's played,
but that's
he's
what,
on
that's
the wing. It is a gamble, I grant you, because he has been primarily a defender. But we know Pep loves a fullback. And Ake can play fullback, so and we know that Pep molds players and he does interesting things. So I think he seems to be quite moldable, if that's a word.
Yeah,
certainly is for Pep. And but I understand the point you're making, though.
But to me, it's a case of I think the point is being slightly missed because I think that you're assuming that he's not going to sign another centre back.
Well, that's
and
right.
I think they will.
Yeah,
I think that if they go for like an oven ready right sided centre back like Koulibaly, for example, mm-hmm. they've been linked with, right-footed, obviously, you know, late 20s, mm-hmm. very experienced, brilliant player as well, in most people's opinion, including my own, then they solve that problem. But, I mean, the reason I think that's happening is because the first thing we saw after this Nathan Aki thing was announced yesterday is that there's things being put out about John Stones. So John mm-hmm. Stones is off. John Stones is going to West Ham. I mean, what John Stones has done to deserve going to West Ham, I don't know. But that's looks like it might be a potential destination for him. So if they're saying we're going to move on John Stones, to me, they know they're short defensively and they know they're not just going to have one out and one in. That wouldn't make any sense at all, particularly given that Fernandinho's as old as he is.
Yeah,
as well,
yeah, exactly.
Well, if Koulibaly's oven ready is like Ake on the slow cooker.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ake's kind of, he's marinating still.
Is he?
Yeah, no, marinating still.
Right, okay.
Because Laporte missed a bit of the season, just gone.
It's an understatement, isn't it? He missed a massive part of it.
Yeah, yeah. but I think because of part of that, they just know that, you know, while he did was able to come back after restart, that they'd need a proper replacement, because the drop off when you're at Man City, it can't be that great. We see how out of place Stones looks when Guardiola has to play him, to the extent that he just stopped playing him.
Yeah. And they're also, by the way, Man City are also a team that are fighting on many different fronts. They're a team who judge themselves on all the different competitions they're in. Guardiola loves winning the League Cup. They've got a strongly held, long-held ambition to do something in Europe. Mm. They have to compete on all these different fronts. It's a very, very shortened season. Have you seen the potential schedule coming out for next season? It is unreal how many games.
He's a good squad player.
Yeah, he could.
They need players, for sure.
They certainly do.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, you know what's back tomorrow? The Scottish Premiership!
We're going to get a chance to guess.
Come on!
I was going to say Stranger Things or something.
No. The Scotch Prem is back tomorrow. Hey, 1st of August, bang, straight in there.
And who have Hearts got?
Sadly, the Hearts aren't involved due to dark forces.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
You know, so well done. You won that one.
No, it was just banter.
Good will always triumph over evil.
Yeah. It's not at the moment. It's not this season.
In the Scottish Championship.
Yeah.
That's funny, isn't it? Yeah. Celtic are going for an unprecedented 10 in a row. Can Stevie Gerrard stop them?
Can I ask a question, a particularly stupid one, to someone who knows a lot more about Scottish football than me? It's never been done before. I thought Rangers did it. They've done nine.
Nine, yeah.
Okay, so 10's never been done.
Never been 10.
Are they going to get Big Brendy back for that?
What, Rangers?
Yeah.
Oh, imagine that. Yeah. He's exactly the type of manager. Yeah. Well, they do like me in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah. What about Derek and the Dandies?
Yeah.
I'm all over that. They were going to sign Stephen Fletcher as well,
just to have mess this with people.
It was almost like they were trying to recreate my period at Edinburgh University, uh-huh. where like Hibs had like a really exciting team with Derek Ryden and Stephen Fletcher.
Very exciting.
I thought, just get everyone back and I'm going to go up for a reunion.
Was that McLeish? Was that McLeish who was in charge of Hibs then?
No, it was someone I forgot.
Big Yogi Hughes. Could have been Neil Lennon. No, that was later, much later.
Yeah, it was later, yeah.
Speaking of Scottish managers, did you see there was a piece last month? Craig Brown was reflecting on
and
that.
Now we come on to the reason why we're talking about Scottish football. That was all just preamble, Vish. Okay, Marcus, for those who listen to the show newly, Marcus loves Craig Brown.
Well, don't we all?
Yeah.
Why should you have to say you love Craig Brown?
That's true.
Should be a given.
It's assumed.
Well, of course, we remember that he made the greatest prediction of all time ahead of the season, of course, when they said, well, who do you fancy for the league this season? Then he named every team in the league.
It
turned out that he was correct.
He was.
One of them did win the league.
Yeah.
But he was reflecting on his Scotland side's campaign at World Cup 98 in a piece last month. And if you don't remember, they lost 2-1. It was a valiant effort against Brazil in the opening game.
Tommy Boyd own goal, wasn't it?
Tommy Boyd own goal.
Yeah.
They drew 1-1 with Norway in the second game. They needed to get a result against Morocco in the third game and obviously assume that Brazil would beat Norway, which they didn't, so it didn't matter anyway. But they got beaten 3-0 off Morocco, which was a disappointment. Very disappointing. I mean, 3-0 is a bit of a gubbing at World Cup level, especially there wasn't that much disparity in the sides. And Craig Brown certainly believed that.
Apart from three goals, but... Yeah,
well, I mean, that's perhaps reflected because Craig Brown said, nobody could say we were humiliated. Every stat apart from goals was in our favour.
You got a Google alert set up. Poor old Craig.
Why is someone put him in the position to answer that question?
I think it's me.
He's a legend. Yeah. He's got
such a nice face as well.
It's like he's got a lovely face. Like I've met the man. He's beautiful.
A little
beautiful.
Disney mouse.
And we should also say that very happy 80th birthday to Craig Brown. 80 earlier this month as well.
Yeah, why is someone calling up? Someone about to turn 80. But well, what about when you lost in 98?
You're just ringing about happy birthday. yeah. Happy birthday. Also, the Newcastle United takeover collapsed on the... What year would it have been? It would have been the 20-something anniversary of Alan Shearer's signing for Newcastle.
Is that right?
Disrespectful. At least leave it to the next day.
Yeah. Exactly. My goodness. Yeah. And of course, this weekend as well is the Irish Cup final. 500 fans will be allowed into Windsor Park for the big one between Glentoran and Ballymena United. So the first game in the UK, which will involve some fans. And the Irish Cup is in Northern Ireland, so yeah. Up yours. Yeah. But yeah, it's first UK. But I mean, your money's on Glentoran, presumably.
Yes, yeah. Marcus, scored rule.
Marcus Kane, the captain. It's always nice to have a Marcus in there. Something we can all get
it's
behind.
Just an extension of Marcus' ego, this show.
Yeah, I didn't realise the first half would be so Marcus heavy. I think that's why in the pre-meeting before the show, he was like, just get FIFA out of the way in the first half.
Yeah, there we are. Let's get him out of the way. Right, OK. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for this.
One of those games is quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. And I'm delighted to say, for this week's edition of Luke's Game, we've got a brand new contestant in the studio.
Oh, who's that?
Good morning, sir. Would you like to tell us your name and where you're from?
Hi, I'm Vidushina Hantaraja. I'm from Ealing. I like calamari and
football players.
Very scared right now.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I got whitewashed 7 weeks. Nothing to be scared of.
Well, do you know what I did? I made the terrible, terrible mistake of listening to last Friday's show because I thought there was in some way that I could prepare for this.
No, you can't prepare.
And I thought, well, I'll just get mentally ready. So if I hear a name, I'll just think of the clubs. Yeah. And the mistake I made was that, Marcus, you did very well last week.
Well, actually, there was a lot of controversy around Scott Parker, but I did accept the decision. So really, I only got one right. Andy got one wrong, so I didn't actually do that well.
Yeah. It's a funny old game, Greavy. Yeah.
Well, now I'm in my own head.
Look, last week it was a bit of controversy, so I'm going to clear that up now. Marcus took it very gracefully at the time. Thank him for that. He understands that the game is the most important thing. Regular listeners will know how to play. New listeners will get it, as the jingle says. But I must be absolutely clear here. Mm. There is to be no repetition of the clubs. There is to be no wrong clubs.
Can you ask, have I said this and this yet?
I can... Why do you always ask me difficult questions I haven't prepared for? I don't think you can, no. I think you have a responsibility to know the clubs you've named and the clubs you haven't. Right. If you are going to bid 12 clubs you're going to name, it's your responsibility to know which ones you've named.
Okay.
Vish has got a pen and paper, that's all I'm saying.
All right.
So we can assume that he is, if he fails, which he probably will, he's at least prepared.
That's cheating.
No debutant.
How is that cheating? You don't have to write stuff down.
No debutant. There you are. No debutant since Andy Brussel has ever won an edition of Luke's Game.
That's not true, because when we first introduced it...
That doesn't really count. when a sport was invented, there's debuts around. Anyway, Vish, you are first, because you are new. Your first player has played for 10 clubs in total. He retired in 2018. It's Diego Forlan.
Oh, good one.
Oof.
And I need to remind you, a quick game is a good game.
Diego Forlan.
That's 10 clubs.
Yeah. Surprising, isn't it?
10 bleeding clubs.
Yeah, you heard me.
I'm going to say, I can guess three.
Three? Marcus, would you like to bid four?
I would like to bid four.
Vish, do I hear five from you?
You don't, no.
Okay, so Marcus, you need to name four. Mm-hmm. Do you feel comfortable with what the rules are?
Yes.
Good. Okay, so you go and name four clubs that Diego Forlan played for, one at a time, please.
Manchester United.
That's correct.
Villarreal.
That's correct.
Atletico Madrid.
Correct.
Inter.
That is also correct. Mm. 1 point to
Penarol?
Marcus.
Was Penarol one?
Penarol is one, yeah. So he started off at Independiente, Manchester United, Villarreal, Atletico Madrid, Inter, Internacional, Cerezo, Osaka, Penarol, Mumbai City FC, and he finished his career at a club called Kitchi, which I've never heard of.
Do you know what I thought of Villarreal as we were doing that? I thought, oh.
Marcus, you are 1-0 up. Vish, a slow start, but you made a bid.
Vish, tricky. No, but it's tricky though. You think to yourself, oh, did he play? For, right, that's a tricky one for now.
No, I got the middle three, so I got, I got Villarreal.
Do you think you should have bid five in the end?
No.
Okay,
no,
fair enough. No regrets.
I've got no regrets there.
I tried to play aggressive against Andy, got whitewashed.
Yeah. Marcus, the next player has played for seven clubs in total. He retired in 2016.
Yeah.
He is Bobby Zamora.
Oh, blimey. Seven clubs?
Correct.
Right, okay. Flipping Nora. Vish is writing down, but he could be writing any old map.
It could be mind games,
it
mate.
It could be
mind games.
That's very naughty of you, Vish. I'll say four.
Vish, can you do five?
Yes, I'm going to do five.
Six to you, Marcus?
No, let him do his five.
Okay, Vish, you need to name one at a time. No repetition, no wrong answers, no youth teams. Five clubs that Bobby Zamora has played for.
Brighton Hove Albion.
Correct. Nice to hear their full name.
West Ham.
Correct.
Queen's Park Rangers.
Correct.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Correct.
And Fulham.
Correct.
Well played, sir.
That is 1-1. So he started his career at Bristol Rovers, then went Bar City, Brighton Hove Albion, Spurs, West Ham, Fulham, Queen's Park Rangers, and that's his seven. Obviously, he went back to Brighton again.
Yeah. He's delighted to get off the mark.
Well done, mate. 1-1. It's all to play for. Yeah. Okay, the third player is Vish to name first. He is still currently playing, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. He's played for five clubs in total.
Ooh.
And he is Diego Godin.
Diego Godin.
Ooh.
Yes.
I think I can only legitimately do three.
Okay. Marcus?
Okay. I'd like him to name those three.
Okay. Three. Change in tactics. Aficionados of the game will notice a change in tactics there from Marcus Spread. He'd love to switch it up during the game.
Yeah, I know.
I'll name
that.
Three.
Vish, I need three from you. Diego Godin, please.
So Inter?
Correct.
Atletico Madrid?
Correct.
This is the one. Villarreal?
Correct.
Well played.
Well played.
Hey, there you go.
Started his career at Cerro in, I presume that's in Uruguay. Then went to Nacional, big rivals of Peñarol, of course. Then Villarreal, Atletico Madrid, and Inter, as you've named. It's 2-1 to Vish. Marcus, you're up first.
I'd like to remind everyone, Vish is a journalist and has been for a long time.
And here we go. Change his tune.
I
think you might have broken the back of this, mate. Right. The fourth player, Marcus, you are to go first. Could be an advantage.
Could be.
Might not be. Depends who you get.
Indeed.
He's played for five clubs in total again. Mm-hmm. So not as many as we've heard, but the same amount as Diego Godin. He is still playing as well. And he is David Luiz.
David Luiz. Naughty. Very, very naughty. I'll say four.
Four? Vish, you're going to have to go for the
clean sweep. I have to go aggressive. I can't leave any room for Vish.
No, you can't.
I said four. I'd let him name his four.
Okay, go for it, Marcus.
Arsenal, Chelsea, PSG, Benfica.
Correct. Easy one. Mm. The club you were missing was Vitoria.
Vitoria.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. No. Yeah, that's
tough one. Vish, it's come down to this. It's 2-2. Last
one.
Good game. Great game.
Whatever happens, it's been lovely, Luke's game.
It's been great. It's been great stuff. One for the purists. Vish, you're first. He's played for eight clubs. He retired in 2007. It all comes down to this. Okay. This is where Marcus's experience might come to the fore.
It might not, though.
Eight clubs in total. Retired in 2007, as I said. John Hartson.
Oh, bloody Nora.
John
Hartson.
Forward, regularly heard on the BBC these days. Seems like a lovely chap. Don't know him. Sure he's nice. Apart from that time he booted someone in the face. eight clubs in total.
I'm going to go with, I think I'll only do four, yeah.
Four. Marcus, do I hear five? This is a big, big moment for Marcus here. He can put all his experience to use here.
It's one of those annoying numbers, Paul. Yeah. I mean, he said like, well, obviously he said two. I'm going to have to go.
Five.
I'm going to gamble. Five.
You want to go six?
I don't.
Okay, Mark, it's all down to you.
It is.
Don't make any silly errors.
No.
Okay, five clubs that John Hartson's played for. No repetition.
Mm-hmm.
No wrong answers. No youth teams. Go for it.
Arsenal.
Correct.
West Ham.
Correct.
Coventry City.
Correct.
Very Celtic.
Good. Correct.
Portsmouth.
Incorrect. The winner.
He's done it.
Mr. Hanathiraja.
Damn it all.
He never played for Portsmouth.
He never.
It's Guffy. Luton Town.
Luton.
It's Arsenal, West Ham, Wimbledon, Coventry, Celtic, West Brom and Norwich, the end of his career. Ooh. No Portsmouth.
I had Crystal Palace written down, so I would
I thought to myself, I was confident on four, and that's why when you said four, I was like, bollocks. If you'd have said three, I was in. Well played, Vic.
Down to
well
the
played.
You got Coventry. He was only there for 12 games.
Yeah,
was he?
Yeah, yeah, I totally missed that.
I wouldn't have got that. Anyway.
I can visualise him in the Coventry.
Wimbledon, I should have got. Didn't
yeah, I should have got Wimbledon. Yeah.
Congratulations to you, Vish.
Well done, Vish.
Delighted. Well played, first win?
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming for you, Brassel. That's all I'm
saying. Oh,
yeah. I've got a taste word. For it.
Yeah, well played, sir.
Marcus, well done. Unfortunately, very close. Could have gone
good.
Either way.
That's what it's about.
It sure is.
It's just, it's all about that's Luke's, the beauty Luke's of it. Game was the winner.
And people can, and people should remember, always, it's easier when the spotlight's not
yeah.
on you.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say, like, I have enjoyed that very much, and it is an honour to play for the first time.
No, that's all you need to say. But, carry on, Marcus.
Yeah, yeah.
But Marcus, is that now three in a row you've lost?
Oh!
No, I won against Pete the other week.
He did.
That doesn't count, does it?
Yeah.
Having a dig at Pete because he's not here to defend himself.
I want to see Pete versus Kate.
Yeah, I do as well. It'll be about 5 seconds long.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Join us tomorrow for another Greatest Games episode in association with the Blizzard. Asif Kapadia, the director of Diego Maradona.
Legend in the building.
Indeed. He joins us to talk about another of those great European nights at Anfield. Liverpool 4, Barcelona 0 from 2019.
Is that a good one,
Mark? Beautiful.
Great, yeah. Good.
Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
Yeah.
So there we are. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vic.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.